I'm J.G. Michael, and this is Parallax Views. On this very special edition of Parallax Views, we are joined by Christian Smalls, the Amazon warehouse employee who recently lit the world on fire and was terminated by Team Jeff Bezos for it. In case you're unfamiliar, in case you've been living under a rock, the past few days, Christian Smalls is a former Amazon employee based out of New York, Staten Island, ground zero for the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. Smalls led his fellow employees in demanding better sanitation measures and acquiring PPE, that is to say, personal protective equipment. Following all this, Smalls' employment was terminated. And in addition, he has been smeared as a leaked memo has come out showing top Amazon executives describing Smalls as not smart or articulate. Now, a number of senators, including Cory Booker and Sherrod Brown, are coming to the former employee's defense and demanding answers from Amazon's mega billionaire head honcho, Jeff Bezos. Needless to say, this important story is far from over, as Christian is now preparing to appear on HBO and even Dr. Phil within the next week. This story is going to take the world by storm, or at least it appears to be going in that direction. And with that being said, let's get right into the conversation with our guest who says it's Amazon versus the people. That's right, Chris Smalls on Parallax Views. Welcome to Parallax Views, Chris Smalls, a former Amazon warehouse employee in Staten Island. I want to thank you for coming on the program. You've been blowing the whistle on certain Amazon practices during this coronavirus pandemic. How are you doing, though, Chris?
Thank you for having me. I want to get that out the way. And I'm doing all right. You know, I'm hanging in there. I'm feeling a lot of support from all over the world, so I'm embracing the moment, and I feel empowered, so I'm good.
So, Chris, I may have some listeners who haven't been able to keep up with every single news story coming out right now. There's a lot coming out. Maybe for those listeners, you could just give a brief description and sort of rundown of your personal story in relation to the pandemic and your work at this Amazon warehouse. I believe it was JFK 8.
Yes. All right, sure. So for those who don't know, my name is Chris Smalls. I've been working for Amazon since 2015. I opened up three large buildings in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. I was an outbound process assistant. AKA, which is like a manager assistant. You want to have clarity of what it does with the job entitles. I was in charge of the outbound department, which is the outbound pick department. We are responsible for picking the customer's orders off the robots before they be shipped to the pack department to be packed out. March 30th, my life changed. I mobilized a walkout that resulted into my termination. Just to give y'all some history on that, beginning of March, I noticed a lot of people around me started to become sick. A lot of my employees that work underneath me, they were fatigued, they were dizzy. Some of them were vomiting. I was sending them to our local AmCare office multiple times a day because they couldn't continue to work. And it was very alarming. It was very scary. I tried to escalate that to the higher management, the HR department. And at that time, because we didn't have any confirmed cases, they were very nonchalant about it, just like the country was behind. We were behind as well. They basically said because we're following the CDC guidelines and we don't have any confirmed cases that, you know, it's just business as usual. And to me, I wanted to be proactive instead of reactive. So, you know, I went home and I started making calls to the CDC, the health department, myself, sending out emails as well to the government, trying to get the building closed down to quarantine because I wanted to make sure that everybody was safe.
And I want to note on other interviews, I know you were interviewed by Michael Brooks recently. You've talked about how you knew employees who were just not feeling well, bloodshot eyes, very just not feeling well at all. Maybe you could talk a little bit about your employees, your fellow employees, and how they were doing during all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. March 24th, when I returned back to work, because I basically took some time off throughout the whole month of March. I was trying to build in the building less as possible because I seen, like I stated before, people around me get sick as far as like vomiting and dizziness. And, you know, I know people claim that it's allergy season and colds and whatnot. But when you're dealing with a pandemic that's in your country, you kind of want to, you're taking everything to a heightened extent. So March 24th, when I came back to work, my colleague, who's a supervisor as well, process assistant. Her name is Barbara. She's already out there. She looked very sick, very ill. And, you know, she's my friend. And I told her, strongly suggested that she go home. You know, I said, hey, yeah, you look bad. She says she's sick. She went for testing the night before, which was Monday, March 23rd. And I said, yeah, you definitely got to go home. And she did. You know, she went home at 9 o'clock that morning. 2 hours later, we had our daily sync meeting with amongst the managers, which we do every day. And that's when we learned about the first case that happened on March 11th. But the results came back in that day. So, you know, I don't know if you guys know about the Queens, New York building, but the Queens, New York building closed down because they had one confirmed case and they closed it down. They sent everybody home with pay and they sanitized the building. So I was actually expecting the same thing. I was expecting our building to take the same action, and I was wrong. You know, they didn't do anything. You know, I looked around at the managers, like, all right, everybody's going home. And they were like, no, business as usual. Don't tell the associates. We don't want to call them. And I just wasn't in agreement with that. You know, I wasn't in alliance with that. That's not what I signed up for. These people are my extended family. You know, I work with these people 40, 50 hours a week. You know, these people hang out with me. They come to my house. I go to the bars with them. There was no way I was going to sit back and allow them to not know that this was going on. So that was the last time I worked for Amazon.
And what were the demands that you felt need to be made to Amazon during this crisis? I believe you were requesting PPE, sanitizing at the Amazon site. You're really standing up for workers' rights. What have you sort of requested of Amazon at this time?
Yeah, you know, so it was simple in the beginning. We only wanted the building to be quarantined and sanitized because, you know, we had a confirmed case and we wanted to make sure everybody is safe and nobody spreads the virus. That's what I wanted in the beginning. But the company didn't do that. They prolonged it. Obviously, we're in the month of April now, so there's way more cases, up to 30 cases in that building. In the beginning, I only wanted that. Now we want, you got to understand, these people are unpaid. They're not offering sick time pay. They're not offering hazard pay. Yeah, they gave a raise to pay overtime, pay for overtime, anything after 40 hours. But at the same, what about the people that's unpaid? You know, there's people like that's sitting right next to me, Giselle. She's been home the entire month because, you know, she's taking precaution in her health. She don't want to go to work knowing that it's a risk. There's people that have lupus in my camp. There's people that they just gave birth. They have infants at home. There's people that are pregnant. There's older senior citizens that Amazon hires as well. What about all of these people that's unpaid right now? So, you know, that's what our demands are. These people deserve to be paid. It's not fair that they have to, you know, stay home and not be paid, myself included, you know, because the company failed to protect us.
Well, I was just going to ask if maybe Giselle could chime in, if she'd be so willing, to talk a little bit about her experience, and also maybe both of you could tell us a little bit about organizing the workers' rights strikes and rallies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I basically stood home for the month of March. I only came into work for 2 days. You know, my main fear is that I'm an athlete, and I have to go. You know, knowing that the virus attacks your respiratory system, I was pretty afraid to even leave my home. I also live with a woman who's 82 years old, so that was another high risk.
Yeah, and that's just one of many stories, you know. Like I stated, there's people in our camp that, you know, have severe immune system health issues and underlying health concerns, and they can't go to work. So that was the reason why we started mobilizing. I had to take further action. You know, I tried working with the management all week. Giselle was a witness. She came and she sat in the break room with us for 8 hours. We did that every
unpaid. Clock in.
Yeah, off the clock, out of our free will. We did that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, up to the point where they quarantined me on Saturday. By the way, they only quarantined me. They didn't even quarantine the person I ride to work with. So that tells you right there, they only did that to silence me. They ain't quarantined none of my employees that worked around Barbara for 10 plus hours. You know, she was there multiple days in a row, and she was around these associates for, you know, 10 hours a day. So, you know, what did that say right there? You know, they were targeting me and to silence me.
Casey, did you have something you'd like to add?
Yeah, just that it's really telling that a company owned by the richest man on earth isn't even willing to give paid time off or paid sick leave to any of his fucking workers. It's infuriating that that they so flagrantly don't care about their own employees. And it takes an action like this to finally rouse public attention to that fact. And I just, I don't know, I want to take this moment to thank you for having the guts to stand up and do something genuinely right that people should have cared about for years now.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. It's a shame. They should be ashamed of themselves, you know. As you know, they got a smear campaign. Well, they used to before it was leaked. You know, because I'm speaking truth to power, and I'm glad everybody's supporting in the public eye right now. We look good, you know, and that's how it should be. The workers come first. We the ones who make these billionaires rich, and it's time for us to take the power back. So, you know, if we got to take it by force, so be it. You know, I started a revolution, and you've seen, or you may have heard about other buildings walking out, and they won't be the last, you know. So hopefully everybody jumps on board and support us. We're going to continue to fight.
Just a few more things really briefly here. How many people participated in the walkout?
We had a good 50 to 60 people come out. I know the company tried to downplay it. You know, they always do that with the PR stunts. That's their MO. That's Amazon's MO. But we had 50 to 60 people come outside and support us. It was successful, you know, and we got our voices out there, put the world on notice. And that's what I'm doing now. You know, I'm embracing the fact that I put my career on the line. It cost me my career, but I have no regrets. I'll do it a million times.
I was going to ask about that. What happened with your termination of employment, if you can speak to that just really briefly? Sure. I know Kristen Kish, one of the spokespersons for Amazon, is trying to paint it as you were in close contact with a diagnosed associate and confirmed case of COVID-19, and that they're saying, oh, you didn't practice social distancing guidelines, and that's why the termination happened. I'm very skeptical when someone from Amazon says that.
Yeah, well, I don't know who Kristen Kish is, because she don't know what she's talking about. First of all, these guidelines that they claim I violated, they didn't exist in the month of March. If I violated it, we all did, because we were partying in the middle of March. You know, if you go on my Twitter feed, I already debunked that. You know, we just had a huge party with DJ, popcorn, everything, March 18th. So, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. As far as the multiple safety guidelines, we all violated them. We all did. If they were implemented, which they weren't. Secondly, yeah, they put me on quarantine on Saturday after me coming in the building every single day of the week. Like I said, me and Giselle, we sat in the break room 8 hours a day. So why just me and not everybody else? What about the employees that were exposed for 10 hours? They didn't quarantine not one of them. What about the person I ride to work with every single day? They didn't even quarantine him to this day. So that tells you right there that, you know, I was just a target. And, you know, I didn't, the quarantine policies are the safety guidelines. As employees, we're supposed to see that in black and white. We didn't. We did not see this policy in black and white. How are we supposed to know what is violation if we're not able to read them? So what the company did, they started putting them out there in black and white in the month of April. I was terminated in March. So, yeah, they're playing cleanup crew, and they're telling the media one thing, but I have all the facts, and the truth will be told.
I guess before we close out, I know the smear campaigns have come out. These executives were describing you as quote unquote not smart or articulate, which I think is absolute BS. I think you're very articulate in describing the issues at hand. And I also want to note, you have senators like Cory Booker now taking up the fight and questioning Amazon's Jeff Bezos over your firing. So I think your cause is gaining a lot of steam right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm grateful for the five senators that sent that letter out. Yeah, you know, like I said, I speak truth to power. If I wasn't smart or articulate, trust and believe, I don't think the richest man in the world would be worried about me. But obviously, it took time out of his busy schedule to have a meeting to talk about Christian Smalls. So that tells you right there that I'm intimidating him, because what I'm speaking about is true. And it's never going to be Amazon versus Christian Smalls. It's going to be Amazon versus the people. So they can try all they want. They're going to have a hard time. I already said they have my full consent to release the video, what I did that entire week and beyond. I know what I've done with that company for years. And I know what I've done that week. I have no regrets. I did the right thing.
I guess in closing, I'm going to add one sort of bit of commentary and then a very quick question. I want to say, first off, I want to thank you for the work you've been doing. It's the workers, the people that work at these facilities, the people that work in our service economy. These are the people who are the backbone of our economy. It's not the Jeff Bezoses of the world that keep everything going. I guess the last question I want to ask you is, what recommendations would you have for workers right now who are more or less being thrown under the bus by these companies like Amazon? What would you say to them? What should they do in response?
Yeah, sure. Well, we all know who we're working for now, worked for at least. We know what type of conversations are being held. These conversations are not giving a damn about the employees. You know, like I said, they'd rather smear somebody who makes $25 an hour instead of protecting their employees. So that tells you right there in black and white, you know, everybody's was able to read that memo all across the nation, all across the world. What type of mindset these billionaires really have? They don't give a damn about people. Excuse my language. They don't give a damn about their employees. So as an employee, if you're still employed with them and you feel some type of way, do what I did. Walk the F out. Take the power back. Stand up and stand against the the capital take power back. Without you guys working, they don't become rich, period. You want to practice real distancing, stop clicking the button. The consumers, stop clicking the button. The one click buy, stop clicking it.
Go back to the groceries. Don't be, buying everything from Amazon, in other words.
Absolutely. You know, what was we doing 15 years ago? We was going to the grocery store. I'm at the grocery store as we speak. You know, there's nothing wrong with going up and going to the store. Just because Amazon is easy, accessible, and you can sit on your tail and have a package delivered, to be saving lives, you know. It goes through a whole process. 6 to 7 people got to touch these boxes. Think about them. Think about yourself as well. The virus does live on cardboard for 3 days. There's 500,000 employees nationwide, 800,000 worldwide. God forbid we all become carriers. This virus spreads to 2.5 people. So that's a scary situation. And the world needs to wake up. You don't need Amazon. Amazon's not a necessity.
Well, Chris Smalls, I want to thank you for coming on Parallax Views. If you could, let my listeners know how they can help you out, how they can help the cause out, and tell them about your GoFundMe page.
Absolutely. Support me on Twitter, shut_down Amazon. On Instagram, chris.smalls_. The GoFundMe could be found linked on each page. Also, you can Google it. Google Chris Smalls GoFundMe. It should show up. The money that I'm raising is for these employees that haven't been to work. It's not just for me. It never was about money for me. But I'm here to help out these employees since, as you said, the richest man in the world won't do it. So I became the new Robin Hood, and I'm going to try to give these people some money. So I appreciate everybody that's supporting. Keep following. I'll be on Dr. Phil later on this week. Wednesday, you can check me out on Dr. Phil. Tomorrow night, I'll be on HBO. HBO around 11 o'clock p.m. So check your local listings for that as well.
Anything else you want to say to my listeners in closing? And then I promise to let you go because I know you're very busy right now.
No, I just want to say thank you. You know, I appreciate all the love and support. Reach out to me. I will respond if I can. I've been trying to be very accessible, and I'm here for you guys in solidarity.
Well, that does it for this edition of Parallax Views. I think what you just heard was a very important conversation. I believe that Chris Smalls will continue to take the world by storm and that we should support him in his efforts. And I hope that you will. Let me know what you thought about this edition of Parallax Views by dropping me a line on Twitter at ViewsParallax or by email at parallaxviewspod@protonmail.com. Also, if you can, please consider supporting me on Patreon, where you can hear the Parallax Views current events program of the week that was, as well as archived editions of Parallax Views. I recently put up 2 episodes from the past that served as a tribute to the work of sci-fi author Harlan Ellison. So that was a classic episode, a classic 2-part episode, I should say, with multiple guests. Also, this Monday, I should have the latest episode of Parallax Views, the week that was in the can and out for publication. And with that being said, until next time, you've been listening to Parallax Views with Parallax Views. To Parallax Views with Parallax Views.
The way out is not simply to say, don't do it. got to prohibit. If nothing else, if we don't do it, others will be doing it like crazy. So, you know, we have to confront the problem. But no, basically, I know of the great anxiety problems, new forms of control, but it's also new forms of freedom. This is why I always emphasize that internet and all this new digital stuff, it's a very ambiguous phenomenon, but it's the field of struggle. New forms of enslavement, but at the same time, new incredible forms of freedom. We have to accept the fight. With no nostalgia for old, allegedly more authentic communities or whatever. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.